Looks like Mr. Limelight is back 100%. Doctor cleared. You're ready to go. What does the future hold for you, Mr. Rivera?
Well, Mr. Marquez, and I call you Mr. Marquez because I respect you. But what I don't respect is people who lack intestinal fortitude to look me face to face. Bring that camera closer. Look me face to face, man to man, and fight me. Instead, they attacked me from behind, put me on the sidelines, and kept me out of the PP3 tournament, taken away from these fans and everybody watching at home. But you see, I'm back, and I'm better than ever, and I'm back to my winning ways. And all I can think about is that when I was sitting on the sideline, I didn't have money coming into my pocket. But more importantly, my daughter didn't have food coming into her mouth. So I take that very personal. So whoever it was that came after me, just know eventually, everything done in the dark comes to light. And you can bet, going forward, no one's gonna shine brighter than Danny Limelight.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Danny Rivera, we'll be back.
Today's episode of the Ringside Rant is presented by State Bags. State Bags makes beautiful, well-made, inclusively cool products while using the power of business to give back to shift the narrative around social injustice. For every State Bag purchased, State Hand delivers a backpack packed with the essential tools for success to an American child in need. But their commitment goes far beyond simply a material donation. State Bags has your back. And part of that commitment is making a difference in local kids' lives. To get you ready for your commute or wherever you are traveling next, State is offering my listeners 15% off their next purchase at statebags.com using the promo code POD. That's 15% off your next purchase using the code POD, P-O-D, at statebags.com. State Bags, they have your back.
Mi gente, you already know who it is. It's Danny Limelight, and you're listening to Ringside Rant.
Welcome back to the Ringside Rant, and welcome to Ranters Nation. You might have seen this guy on a lot of shows. You might have seen him on UWA. You might have seen him on AEW. You might have seen him on New Japan. Christ, this guy's all over the place. He's the one, he's the only, he's Mr. Danny Limelight. What's up, my man?
What's up, RJ? How you doing, man? Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, it's definitely an honor. I definitely have been digging your stuff that you've been doing, like I said, before we started recording here, between AEW and New Japan and, Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, Mr. Marquez's a promotion out by you there. Just absolutely, you know, obviously, hopefully, I was hoping that you'd get the win, but when you're going against a guy like a Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy and stuff, you guys definitely put up a good fight.
Right, yeah, man, I tell you, the Jurassic Express, man, them dudes are explosive, they're innovative, they do things that someone who I pride myself in being innovative, they do things that I haven't seen before, you know? And it was just an awesome experience just showing up and being able to step into the ring with some AEW's top teams and really just showcase who Danny Limelight is for those that hadn't seen me on New Japan Pro Wrestling, for those that hadn't seen me on, you know, Primetime Live or Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. This was the first time a lot of people got eyes on me. And it was just pretty dope to see me being able to just be who I am. And you know, I also want to thank Tony Khan and Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks and Kenny and everybody involved at AEW for allowing me to come out there and just be me, you know, giving me that platform to showcase my talent. And I think I did a pretty good job at showing the world that who I am, you know?
Now, were you in touch with them right off the bat, or were you kind of like, hey, you got to talk to this guy? Or were they thoroughly involved in bringing you in?
So it was one of those things where I had contacted them, reached out, right when COVID started. But because, you know, COVID and everything like that, like they were just being very choicey about, you know, for safety precautions of who they were bringing in and stuff like that. They told me they'll get back to me. And then at the beginning of October, I got a call from them, and they wanted me to come out. And I was like, yeah, let's go. I'm down, of course, you know. And I flew out there. And yeah, then, you know, the reactions and stuff like that, it was well received by everybody. You know, I felt like everything I did looked good, and everything that I did was well received. And it's just been a roller coaster since that, you know, and being able to interact with new fans and people that hadn't seen me before, that I just now, like, really, like, learning who Danny Limelight is, you know, it's a process, it's a journey. You know, I've been doing this for 6 years, but I've had like a 2-year break, so really 4 strong years of this job. And now the platforms that I'm performing at, you know, the levels that I'm performing at, it's just crazy to me. It's, you know, it's like, wow, you know, I feel like I made it, but I know that I have so much more to do to get to where I really want to be.
Yeah, because I first saw your stuff over, like I said, with Mr. Marquez's promotion with Championship Wrestling Hollywood, and then with United Wrestling too, in their championship tournament there. But you know, shout out to, you know, This Is the NWA Podcast. I heard you on their show, and I'm like, oh man, I gotta check this guy out, because it just seems. I've been doing this probably, this is probably, what is this, 86 episode maybe? I don't know. Anyways, regardless, you know, I've been doing this so long. I'm like, very rarely do you see guys that are such humbled in the business. I'm not saying not everybody's humbled, but
yeah,
with you, it's just like, you can see it when you're in the ring. It's like you, I told this to somebody, compared to like an AEW. They make you feel like you're viewing them, their business matters, you know. And it's like when I watch guys like you, guys like Casey Navarro, who you tagged with, guys, a lot of those guys in AEW, that's how I feel it, you know what I mean? And that's, it's like, you don't have to see it live to really understand that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, this is, you know, go out there and see a lot of the stuff on YouTube now. And, you know, and that's one of those things that I tell a lot of people. I'm like, if you guys are getting into watching wrestling, watch your independents, watch your, you know, your AEWs, because you're going to see a lot of the guys, you know, bursting on and, you know, really making a name for themselves. Where do you really want to take this? You know, you've been to, you know, New Japan, you've been to AEW, you know, Championship from Hollywood. Are you just basically going wherever you can to get, you know, get your name out there?
I think for me, man, like, I am enjoying this process. I think that, you know, when I first started wrestling, I was like, I want to get signed, you know, like, I want to be here, there, and everywhere in between. But now I'm just like, I'm really coming into my own of who I am as Danny Limelight. I'm really getting a groove and my like hand wrapped around what I want to do. I'm just going, I don't want to say I'm just happy to be here, because I'm never just satisfied with just being anywhere. But I'm really just like enjoying this moment. This year that may have been the worst year in the world for a lot of people was like my best year in life ever, you know, professionally and personally. And now with, you know, things had kicked off real big with New Japan, and I was just so well received by the New Japan pro wrestling fans, you know, and then being able to wrestle guys like Rocky Romero and Chase Owens, and, you know, getting into the Lions Break Crown tournament and wrestling a lot of the other hot young and up and coming superstars. And then, you know, being part of Championship Wrestling from Hollywood and the United Wrestling Network for 5 years now, really, you know, growing into the face of the company, or trying to be that kind of flag bearer for the company. And then now with AEW kicking off, and, you know, their fans loving what they saw, and being able to, you know, get in the ring with people like Jurassic Express. And I know so many guys there from, you know, the SoCal wrestling scene. It's about getting my name out there. Yeah. But it's about building my brand and my vision that I have for 2020, I surpassed it. I just wanted to start making waves and really have a good breakout year. And I feel like I did that. And now I'm like, okay, now I know I'm ready to be signed to a major company. Now I know that I can be an asset to any company, whether in any role they need me in, because I can do the Lucha Libre, I can do the wrestling, I can do the hybrid style. So I fit in with New Japan, I fit in with AEW. I'm definitely being very, very picky with my independent bookings now. I've been telling a lot of companies no thank you. I am coming out to Texas in November 28th to wrestle Miranda Alizé for her Cruiserweight Championship. And that's because I've wanted to wrestle in Texas for a while. I've never wrestled in Texas. I'm just being very picky because I want to make sure that what I'm doing is one, going to benefit that company, and two, going to benefit me. And, you know, being in the SoCal wrestling scene, it's a hot scene. But I feel like I've wrestled almost everybody there is to wrestle here in SoCal, you know, like the SoCal guys. And I just want to do television, you know, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I just want to do television, and I want to, when the deal comes across my desk, I want to make sure that whatever company I'm signing to, I'm not just signing to say that I'm a signed athlete. You know what I'm saying? I feel like, you know, some people have it in their mind, they just want to say they're signed. They want the clout of saying they're signing me. I want to make sure that whoever I sign with, one, like I said, it's going to benefit the company. I could be an asset there. And two, it's where I feel like I fit in and where I feel like I could do something for that company. You know what I'm saying? And that's my goal. That's what I'm looking at going forward. It's just really, you know, becoming, you know, a household name as Danny Limelight, as the brand, and then also someone that can add value to a company.
Yeah, because you see too many times where, you know, for myself, being on the outside looking in as far as a fan, is you see a lot of people, guys, gals, whomever, just signing places to sign someplace, and yeah, you don't take the time to really see if that specific organization, promotion, whatever, really fits them. Because, you know, 2 years down the road, you could be like, oh, Christ, what the hell did I do?
Yeah.
And you'd be back in the same situation. And I think that's where today, now, between your, you know, your new fans, your championship wrestlings from Hollywood, AEWs, ROHs, there's just so much out there that you can have, you know, so many different hands in every pot.
Well, look at TJ Perkins. The dude wrestles for Impact. He wrestles for New Japan Pro Wrestling. He can still take independent bookings, you know, like, and he's making a killing. You know, he's making a living off of it. He's putting on amazing matches, and he's still able to beat TJ Perkins, somebody who's been everywhere and back, right? Two of my buddies signed with a company. One of them signed with one company. One signed with another company. One of those two companies had reached out to me for me to sign a deal, and they wanted me to be exclusive. You can only wrestle for us. We have TV. We have all this stuff. And I looked at it, and one, the numbers didn't, you know, make sense to me. And two, I was like, no, thank you. Like, I'll wrestle for your company, but I'm not going to sign my life away to your company, you know. One of my friends that I know, I'm not going to say that they've signed with that company. They haven't even had a match yet. Like, the company hasn't even had its first tapings. And he's been signed with them now for about 4 months. So, like, he can't wrestle anywhere else now. So now he's wrapped into a contract with these guys. Nothing's happening. Then my other dude that I knew signed with this company who I'm not going to say the company name or anything like that, but he was miserable. You know, he was like, they have nothing for me. I'm just sitting here, and I'm having, you know, these kind of matches that just aren't doing anything for me. And you know, I'm getting paid X amount of dollars. And I'm like, look, man, like, we had this conversation, and I told you what I thought about it when you first brought it up, but you just wanted to say you were signed. Like, and I feel like if that's what your goal is, then go ahead to anybody listening, that you just want to say you're signed. But you have to make sure that if you're signing somewhere, it's somewhere you fit in. It's somewhere that you're going to be able to do something. Because are you wrestling because you just want to say you're signed, or are you wrestling because you want to be a star, or you want to, you know, make a living off the business, or you really want to build your brand? Like, what is your goal? And if people don't have like a goal or vision in mind, then I don't know what to tell you. For me, I know that what I want, I'm not going to settle for anything less than what I want.
Yeah. And that's something that a lot of the guys and gals that, you know, sometimes, like I said, sometimes they don't realize until after the fact. But you see, you know, promotions, like, we'll bring up an AEW, like we saw last night. I don't know if you saw the pay-per-view, but Don Callis, that EVP from Impact, was at that show. So it's like, okay, now you're starting to see the inside workings, maybe a little bit of, you know, cross branding, cross promoting, what have you, between different promotions. But it's just, like I said, it's just so much out there now that, you know, some contracts that I've heard, you know, they aren't as exclusive as, you know, some other ones. Obviously, you know, get the older guys that, you know, are going to be exclusive to New Japan or AEW, but now it's like, okay, you still can have AEW, but you can go to your New Japans and still work overseas.
Yeah, if you look at it, like, for example, with Impact, they seem to be doing really good with that, because they have TJ Perkins, you know, doing his thing with all over the place. But then now Chris Bay making his debut at the Super J Cup. he's an Impact wrestler, former X Division champion. Now he's crossing over into New Japan. And if that's just, I think to me, that's smart business. I think that's amazing business. And I think that's going to open up a lot more doors for a lot of people.
Yeah. And I think, like I said, the wrestling business is just so, so big now where you can, you know, people can afford to, you know, like with you, you can go from, you know, to Orlando, Florida, Jacksonville, excuse me, for AEW 1 week. Then you can come back and do the tapings out in California by you. And then the next you can go do a tour in Japan. Right. You know, you're going to probably be taking a lot of toll on your body because that's a lot of travel. But you said, like you said, it's worth it in the end game because you get your name, you get your face out there on TV, and you know, who knows what's going to happen.
Absolutely. And then for me, you know, once you're in the end game, snap away from either making it or breaking it, you know? So I'm focused right now. I'm laser focused and it feels good. I do get to like take a moment now and then and just like breathe it all in because I have been doing a lot and my body sometimes feels it, but my body is my machine. So I got to make sure I'm doing the proper precautions to take care of it. You know, resting, going to see, you know, physical therapists to like stretch me out and things of that nature, because, you know, I need to make sure that my body is okay. My mind is okay. And right now I'm in the best shape I've ever been in. So it feels good. Everything seems to be going the direction it needs to be going. And so I just, with that being said, I just need to make sure that I continue to keep it that way and stay consistent with it.
Yeah. I was kind of hoping that you'd be going to see a physical therapist after that match you had with Jurassic Express and a couple of those spots, bumps and spots that you and KC took. I'm like, oh man. I'm like, but hey, we're still, you know, we're still going strong.
Did you see the match before that where the me and Jersey Muscle against Marco Stunt, Jungle Boy, and Luchasaurus?
I saw that. That was the only one that I saw was that tag team.
Yeah, the week before, it's on YouTube. It's my debut with AEW. It's a six man. That one was a lot of fun. Like, yeah. If you get a chance, it's like 10 minutes, something like that. I recommend that one out.
Yeah, because like I said, I'm like, I know I saw something with him. Like, I couldn't remember when it was. I'm like, oh, I'll go back and watch it. But that's especially, that's why I've liked AEW on top of a lot of the other promotions, is because, you know, they cross brand. They do a lot of stuff on YouTube. They do a lot of this dark stuff where normally you wouldn't see it in other promotions. But is that something, obviously, how difficult has it been without, you know, fans there? Obviously, with AEW, I don't know how it is dark, but, you know, even with the broadcast every week with Dynamite, you know, you're starting to see, you know, fans there. We saw 1,000 fans at Daly's place last night with their pay-per-view. So, you know, how have you, you know, going from, you know, fans to no fans? I'm sure it's a common question that you've gotten as of late, but obviously it changes with each different promotion.
It does. Fortunately, the studio style tapings that we do at New Japan are very similar to the studio style tapings that we do at Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. And if you think about, like, all I've really worked this year has been television, and the good majority of my matches have been studio style tapings. So it was an easy transition for the AEW, where there was, you know, very, very minimal fans and wrestlers at ringside and things like that. For those dark tapings and stuff like that. So it was definitely not that difficult to grasp. I miss the adrenaline that I get from the fans. I miss feeding off the fan energy, the boos, the cheers. You know, I miss the intermissions where, you know, you go sit at the table and take pictures and they, you know, sell merchandise and just have laughs with everybody. But also now I feel like it's a lot easier to just come into the ring and really just focus on my opponent, focus on what the mission is, you know, and I don't have to worry about if they don't like me or if they're cheering for me or, you know, if Johnny that's picking his nose in the third row is paying attention. You know, I can just really come in and just have my mindset on come in, beat my opponent, and then walk out, you know. And eventually when things go back to normal, I'll be ready to embrace that kind of wrestling again, because it is a lot of fun. You know, it is a lot of fun. Fans are amazing. They are what makes the business. You know, what has gotten me this far has been the fan support. But until then, I'm going to just focus on what we're doing and that's been, you know, just straight up tapings and studio style format. I'm pretty sure November 28th in Texas, there will be a live audience at Texas for Hurricane Pro Wrestling. So it will be cool to, you know, get a good taste at what's happening with the fans over here. Fans I've never seen before that have never seen me unless they know me from New Japan or AEW or things of that nature. But really I'm just really ready to rock, you know, so.
Yeah, no, obviously you mentioned with New Japan. We just saw you on, I believe it was Saturday it aired on New Japan World with Chase Owens. Now, have you been over there since, you know, pre-pandemic so you could actually experience that fan base?
I have not wrestled in Japan yet. I am so excited that when things get back to normal to go to Japan. I've lived in Japan for 2 years when I was in the military, but I've never wrestled out there. So now that I have a good thing going with New Japan Pro Wrestling, more specifically New Japan Strong, every Fridays on newjapanworld.com, I am looking forward to being embraced by the Japanese audience out there when I get a chance to go wrestle.
Yeah, because there's nothing I've seen that tells you any different with how dedicated, how hardcore that fan base is. Them and over in the UK, too. But it's just interesting to see that different, you know, contrasting and fan bases, obviously, when we can have enough fans in there to really, you know, make a difference.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned being a former past Marine yourself. So first and foremost, thank you for your service. It hits near and dear to my heart with my grandfather being in the Army in World War II. But with that being said, did that experience being in the service, you know, how did that prepare you for the wrestling business?
I think it prepared me in many ways, more specifically the discipline, the warrior mindset, you know, ready to fight. You know, the Marines are definitely the first to fight. And that mental state of mind that the Marine Corps bred in me, and the Marine Corps pretty much raised me that way, to be ready to go at any time, like that really has helped me transition to wrestling. Definitely the physical part, the training, being in amazing shape. The Marine Corps had me in the best shape possible. Specifically, you know, coming back from being a drone instructor where that was just go, 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 nonstop with recruits, you know, and being able to keep up with 18-year-old kids that are coming out of high school running, you know, 17-minute 3 miles. It was fun, you know. I was well prepared. Wrestling training is hard. Obviously, being a wrestler is difficult. Not everybody can do it. It does take a toll on your body, but I feel like the Marine Corps prepared me for that because of the training that I had already.
Yeah, because there's been a few guys that I've talked to that are in the wrestling business. I think they're the East Coast. Bryson Scott. He's out of, I want to say, I think he's out of Texas. But he uses the Valhalla Boys.
Okay.
And I had him on this show, and he's like one of those guys where he's like, he uses the wrestling business for that outlet because of the PTSD that he encountered and all that stuff through being in the service. But yeah, it's just one of those things. You see that so often now. You see a lot of that, you know,
yeah,
mentality, you know, that, you know, that discipline.
Yeah. And for me, you know, when I first started, everybody was like, oh, why don't you just be a military character? Why don't you just be a military character? And I was like, I didn't want to do that. You know, I wanted to separate the two. But obviously, I can't forget that that's what I was and that's what I did. For me, it's been the wrestling has been an outlet for everything in life. You know, just some kid that grew up watching it, now being able to do it for a living is a blessing. And the Marine Corps, even though I don't incorporate it into the thing, you still see commentators talking about it and people bringing it up. And I do carry myself with the confidence of a Marine. I do carry myself with that chip on my shoulder like a Marine would. But other than that, it doesn't really – I don't really let it bleed over too much into what it is that I do.
Yeah. Now, you know, when you got out of – you got out of the service, you've been in the business, you said 6 years. Who are some of those guys that, you know – you went to get the advice in the business? Was it, you know, Mr. Marquez, or was it somebody out there in the California area, or out where you're from out here in New York?
Definitely. I just want to take a second to give a shout out to Mr. Marquez, because he is definitely the person that I give most of the credit to, if not all the credit to my career, because of what he did for me and bringing me to Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. 9 months, 10 months in the business, I'm wrestling on TV, learning how to work TV, you know, and I think that is what made it so easy for me to wrestle where I'm wrestling now, because I understood the TV concept because of him. You know, guys like, you know, TJ Perkins, where I could hit him up and be like, yo, can you check this match out? Let me know what you think. What can I do differently? You know, how can I be better? You know, he's somebody who has a really good mindset for the game. Someone who I go to for advice. Rocky Romero is another one that he's been around and done it all, and somebody who's definitely taking his eyes on me, you know. So I just want to thank Rocky Romero as well. I definitely can talk to people like Ray Rosas, who's the Hollywood Heritage Champion. I can talk to people like Scorpio Sky. I can talk to people like, you know, Sammy Guevara, John Morrison. Those are the guys that I really talk to about wrestling. And then people that I give credit to training me, you know, Mariachi Loco and Lil Cholo, they definitely, you know, they see my stuff and they'll let me know, hey, you should do this instead, or you should work on this. And it's a blessing being able to train and work with all these people, and really just get a good grasp of everybody's mindset, and then try to take all of that, all those pieces to the puzzle, and make it my own, you know, and really let that show, you know, what it is that I am. And I think that I've been doing a good job at that.
Now, when you were in, when you're over, you know, like you mentioned Rocky Romero with New Japan there, and then obviously when you were with AEW there, were there, you know, people there that you kind of just bounced ideas off of, say, hey, you know, certain coaches, certain guys, gals, what have you, just to kind of just, you know, spitball and see what they thought about the character or what have you?
Yeah, you know, Damian Sandow, I keep calling him Damian Sandow, but Aaron Stevens, he's someone that I bounce a lot of ideas off. I think he has a great mindset for character work, a great mindset for psychology in wrestling. So he's someone who definitely allowed me to really take the Puerto Rican Papi, the Danny Limelight, and really, like, embrace it more. You know, like he's definitely somebody, no, give it a little more. No, give it a little more. No, I think you're still holding back. He's somebody who definitely, like, not so much my ring work and the stuff that the moves that I do, but definitely how I carry myself in the ring, the character work that I do with Danny Lama is definitely has been a lot of him. Even my tag partner, Papo Esco, you know, he's someone that'd be like, nah, let's try this instead. Or what do you think about this? Somebody that's definitely like, yo, like, nah, let's not do that. I always feel like I've always been good at cutting promos. I've always been able to talk, but definitely, you know, now that I've been really honing this character, this really bringing, and honestly, it's not really a character. It's who I am. It's who I was coming up, and it's just amplified. But really, it's bleeding out. It's showing a lot more. And now it's transitioning to the stuff that I do in the ring, you know, whether I'm hitting if I kick somebody as hard as I could, and afterwards, then sometimes I'll do a little bachata dance because I'm feeling myself, and I'm definitely feeling that. I like to say the sazón, you know, how we season our food in Puerto Rico. You know, there's a lot of stuff, so it's a little bit of flavor, and I'm definitely showing that a lot. And it's definitely coming from, you know, Aaron Stevens. It's definitely coming from, you know, somebody like David Marquez. It's definitely coming from, you know, Rocky Romero. Juice Robinson is another guy in the back at New Japan Strong that says, I'll try this instead. And just being, if you look at the locker rooms that I'm in, the shows that I'm on, it's such great talent there, such amazing talent that have done everything, you know, in the business. And there are going to be people that are going to say, hey, I like that, or hey, I didn't like that, and then just take the constructive criticism and you rock with it.
Yeah, because you see so many times now where it's, people just want to get their own stuff, and they really don't want to give those guys the time of the day when they come in, when they do, you know, when they do those dark matches, or when they do those, you know, those tapings, and just kind of get, you know, for better use of terms, basically get their asses kicked.
No, and I really want to thank Jurassic Express, because, you know, those are my boys. Right when they signed with AEW, I was training with them. We was all going to, you know, gymnastic Olympia out here in LA, these little like trampoline, but like the gyms that have like all types of shit that you can do things on. And we were really working combos together, combos, moves, you know, trying to be innovative. John Morrison was with us. Super Panda was with us, and we were like the five of us really just working things out, trying to figure out new strikes, new combos, and how we could elevate our game. Because then John Morrison had just re-signed with WWE, so he was trying to come back with some new stuff, and just like, you know, then coming to AEW, then being able to have my debut with them, both my matches with them, it was awesome, man. Like, we knew each other so well, we trained with each other, you know, it was. All love, but obviously we both want to win, so it definitely was a contest, a competitive one. But it was cool to be in there with people that I knew, people that I'm proud of for their success, and still sharp and steel. And I think that, you know, you said you saw the match with Casey Navarro, but if you get a chance, go look at the tag match with Jersey Muscle against Jurassic Express. It's a six man. It's insane.
Yeah, and then, like I said, this is not just an AEW show. I can't put them over enough. But anyways, regardless, you know, that's why I like it so much, is because you get to see guys like you said, guys that you train with. And I know you're not the only one that this happens to, is you just get that independent wrestling background where you've wrestled so many times. But this is the first time people really get to see you on camera, on TV, yeah, or internet, or whatever the case may be. But yeah, it's just unreal. You know, another, you know, to bring up Mr. Marquez again, is he's got his hand obviously with the NWA.
Yes.
What do we have to do? And we, as wrestling fans, have to do to really get you in a 10 pounds of gold match against Mr. Nick Aldis there. You know, as we're recording, I think he's, 750th day as champion. I think that is, you know, like you said, you can do pretty much anything in that ring. We saw that on AEW Dark, obviously. But how is that something? Obviously, I pretty much know the answer, so I've got to be careful on how I word this. Is what can we expect if we see that down the road?
I think Nick Aldis has been an amazing world champ. 750 days, that's a long time to be carrying around a lot of weight, you know, but that's a championship with so much prestige, so much history. You know, I recently wrestled Chase Owens, who's a former NWA junior heavyweight champion. I pinned the last NWA junior heavyweight champion in the Lions Break Crown Tournament, Barrett Brown. And that, there's been some people online saying they want to see Danny Limelight wrestle Nick Aldis on Primetime Live, and I'm all for it. I think Nick Aldis is the kind of guy who he defends against who he wants to defend or who he thinks is worthy, you know. I don't know him personally. I've never met him. I've never been in any kind of talks with the NWA. I've never had an NWA match. But if there was an opportunity to wrestle Nick Aldis for the NWA World Championship, then of course I'm game, you know. I can compete with the best of them. I've been in the ring with the best of them. And I know that if I was in the ring with Nick Aldis, I would easily be able to adjust my game to fit his, whatever that may be. And I think that it would be a contest worth watching. You know, so that's going to be up to the NWA, maybe Mr. Marquez, if he can pull some strings. But if it happens, I think that it'll be worth it. And if it doesn't, then maybe the next champ will give me a shot, you know. So
there you go. But that's one of the things a lot of people are, you know, they're saying, like I said, with your New Japans, with your AEWs, your WWEs, but a lot of people, you know, sleeping on the promotions like an NWA or ROH or Impact or MLW, whatever. But it's one of those things, you know, you have to have that face of the company. And, you know, it's just like, okay, I think now is the perfect time to do that. You know, I might have to start some sort of like a movement or something, and all this, a Limelight feud or something online, because
right now I got a feud going with Leo Rush, apparently.
Oh geez, how I saw that and I'm like, how? Granted, that would be absolutely fantastic, but I'm like, how did that, you know, that start? I saw the back end of it.
Well, Leo Rush put my name on his list,
right?
Of people he wanted to wrestle, and he was on my list after he left WWE and was starting to take independent bookings. I said, I want to wrestle Leo Rush. And then I seen that I was actually on his list that he posted. And to me, I was like, let's do it, you know? And then I saw that he was coming to Primetime Live. And I was like, what better place to have this match than in my home? You know, I'm the face of Primetime Live. I've been there the most. Me and Dirty Dickinson are tied for the most appearances on that show. So to me, I was like, you know, what better place than to have Lio Rush, an established star, take on the hottest up-and-coming wrestler on the scene right now, the hottest free agent, you know? I've never been signed anywhere, so maybe, you know, this could be an opportunity for Lio Rush to say, oh, who are you? Who have you haven't done anything? But obviously he knows who I am because I'm on his list. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'd be on that list if he didn't think I was good enough. So we just started the back and forth, and I was like, hey, if you come into Primetime Live to make your debut, let's run it. You know, let's do it. And he was like, oh, you know, step up, don't be a bitch, la da 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 da. You know, started the name calling. You know, Lio Rush talks a good talk.
Yeah.
Real good talk, and he's definitely good enough to back it up. And so I was like, okay, you know, let's do the best numbers that Primetime Live has ever done before. And I think that if this match gets booked, Danny Limelight versus Lio Rush, it can main event the show. It can main event any show. And we can really, really do some numbers. If Lio Rush is all about the money, like he says, we can make some money off the match. And I think it'll be one hell of a match for people to watch. And I think it's going to happen. And I know Mr. Marquez is smart. He's a businessman. He knows what's best for business. There's no doubt in my mind the match is going to happen. It's only a matter of time.
Yeah. I'm just surprised when I saw that. I'm like, I'm just surprised that, you know, you guys haven't been in the ring. You guys haven't touched before. Before I'm like, man, because just being, you know, obviously with him being in the WWE for as long as he was, but even before that, it's like, you know, being on that independent circuit.
What happened? I have a funny story with Lio, man. I've known Lio since 2016.
Yeah.
I was just coming up when he was pretty much getting ready to sign.
Yeah.
But when he started making a lot of California bookings, I had took the break to go be a drone instructor. So I wasn't wrestling for those 2 years where he was really, really over here on this side.
Yeah.
Then he got signed, but I was at a show one time where he was there. You know, it was a huge stack show in San Diego, and the promoter, it was a shady promoter, didn't have any hotels for Lio, JT Dunn, or Jeff Cobb. And so these dudes were stuck, like, you know, nowhere to go, kind of deal. And I was there, and I knew Jeff Cobb for a while. JT Dunn, we kind of hit it off at the show, and Lio and I, we knew each other from the scene. And like, we all went out that night, you know, we went out, we had a good time, you know, they crashed at my place, brotherly love, you know what I'm saying? And you know, then he got signed, and like, I'm definitely one of those people that are super happy for everybody's success. I feel like the conversation I had with TJ a while back about, I can eat without taking off your plate. You can eat without taking off my plate. There's so many opportunities for wrestling these days. So with all that being said, I've known him for a while. You know, we've had that understanding of each other, how we conduct business. And so now it's never happened before because I went away from wrestling and he got signed. But now he's back. Now I'm better than ever. There's no better time for this match to happen. And I need it and want it to happen on Primetime Live because I really want to show the world on pay-per-view that I can hang with someone as talented as Lio Rush, and more specifically, that Lio Rush is going to learn that I'm as good as I say I am.
Yeah, and like you said, I don't think there's a better time than, you know, on Primetime Live, especially that, you know, this with Primetime Live, with Championships from Hollywood, from the United Wrestling Network, it's really catching steam, and I'm so impressed on...
Oh, yeah, the World Tournament happening right now, the World Championship Tournament, you know, the finalists, you got... You know, Dirty Dickinson, Fred Rosser, Mike Bennett, Sean Devari. That's gonna be found out this week coming. You know.
But so. I'm just surprised it's grown. I didn't have any doubt to begin with, but I'm just surprised that it's gotten as popular as it did with everything that's been, you know, that's been going on.
Yeah, and that's a testament to David Marquez and his mindset for the business, the way he thinks. If you look at Primetime Live, it's so special. Mm-hmm. It's a weekly pay-per-view show. And he is bringing in talent from everywhere. And in my opinion, there's no hotter women's division right now than the United Wrestling Network. If you look at the matches that's been happening on Primetime Live in the women's division, you know, you've seen wrestlers like Thunder Rosa, Priscilla Kelly, Serena Deeb, Heather Monroe, Miranda Alizé, like all these talented females coming in to wrestle on Primetime Live, having amazing matches. And then you look at guys they're bringing in. You got Fred Ross, Eric Redbeard was there last week, Kevin Martinson, Ray Roses, Mike Bennett, Nick Aldis was on the first episode, Dirty Dickinson. You know, you got myself, Papo Esco, you know, a bunch of talented individuals that are coming from all over the world. Lio Rush making his debut this past week. Like, there's not a better show on Tuesday nights that is on pay-per-view, that is able to bring in this many people from all over. And even with this World Championship tournament that they had AEW representation. They had, you know, WWE representation or previous WWE wrestlers like Mike Bennett, you know, Fred Ross or Eric Redbeard. They had, you know, originally had MLW participation with Davey Boy Smith Jr. Like, they're able, Marquez is able to bring all these puzzle pieces together to create the United Wrestling Network and really showcase talent from all over the place and put on an amazing show. And I'm excited and I'm happy to be part of that team.
Do you think, you know, with, like you said, with bringing in talent across all over different promotions across the world, you know, we see it a lot with some promotions in the past where, you know, sometimes having a lot of talent on a roster is sometimes, you know, bad. Do you think that's going to run into that issue where, you know, we have such high talent and everybody getting enough camera time, I guess we could say?
Well, I think that David Marquez is that good.
Yeah.
I give you an example. Look at all those guys that I said that are coming to the show, and I've still been on there four times. Four out of the seven episodes I've been. Dirty Dickinson's been there enough. I think the key players have already been chosen. I think they know who are the guys that they want to be the key players, and they're the ones that are there all the time. And I think it's cool and it's fresh for the fans to see new faces come in if it's once or twice, you know, every couple months. It'll keep the roster fresh. It'll keep the matchups fresh so you don't get into that little rabbit hole of people wrestling the same people over and over. I think fans want to see some guys like, you know, Rocky Romero was in the tournament pop up. Somebody like Mike Bennett show up, you know, and whoever's crowned world champion, it'll be awesome to see all the different kind of talent that they can defend the championship against, you know? Mm-hmm. Whether it's players on the show like myself or if it's guys that are coming in for one night shots to take the belt and run with it. So
mm-hmm. Now, with, you know, in history, it will show us that, you know, the 10 pounds of gold was always and always has been, as of late, a traveling championship. You know, are you, you know, with the United Heavyweight Championship, the NWA Championship, are you a fan or a wrestler that is in favor of saying, okay, well, one night the NWA champion may be in California, next night to be in Missouri, then down to Arizona? Do you think that's a good idea to have a traveling champion like that?
I think so. When I was – so there was a point in 2018, 2019 where I was a champion – in three different companies. I was the heavyweight champion in three different companies. One of them was a cruiserweight championship. And I took the belts with me everywhere I went. And I defended them one night in Cali. The next night I'm in Rhode Island. And I'm in, you know, Pennsylvania. And I'm in Mexico. Being able to represent for that company, I feel like if a company is trusting you to be their champion and you're their champion, then you should be a fighting champion. You should be somebody that's bringing relevance to the belt so people understand, oh, he's a champion. What company? Oh, this company? Let me go look that company up. You know, let me see what that company's doing. I think that's awesome. You know, that I do understand that, no, you're only going to stay here and you're only going to defend. You're going to just be my champion here. But after a while, you know, how is anybody in, you know, the other side of the country going to know who you are, who your champion is if he's not making his rounds? He's not making those loops. He's not getting out there. And I think that it's important, at least for me, if I'm going to be a champion, I want to be a champion that's fighting anybody, anywhere, any place, anytime. That's just how I look at it. Yeah.
Now, you said you go from coast to coast, you know, border to border, what have you. You know, being a New York native that you are, I can't help with that sign behind you, but are you still looking, like you said, obviously you're touch base down there in California with Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, but are you still looking to come out here to the East? Obviously with, you know, you're making trips down to AEW in Florida here, but more of the kind of like the more Northeast area.
Yeah, I'm down. There's a couple of people that I want to wrestle out that way. You know, like Alex Zane and JT Dunn. Those are two guys that are on my list of five right now. I want to wrestle for Limitless in Maine. I want to wrestle for Wrestling Has Tomorrow. I want to get out there more. I like wrestling for XWA in Rhode Island. I used to do a lot of the Evolve stuff out there. I'm just right now, you know, if I get a phone call, I get an email. I look at it. I look at what it is they want me to do, and I make sure that it's who I it's true to who I am and my goal right now. Mm-hmm. but I have wrestled for places like CZW. I have been out east a few times, and I definitely want to get out there a lot more. I just have to make sure that, like I said, it's going to benefit the company. It's going to benefit me and my current roadmap, I should say, to where I want to go.
No, I definitely get that. Obviously, with more importantly, I don't even think I have it back here anymore. I used to have a bookcase behind me that had all the old, I used to collect Yankee yearbooks.
Oh, nice.
So I got ones from like right when they started winning in 96 all the way up to now. being out of New York, being a Yankees fan that you are, how tough was it to see this team not really make it that far this year? Or as far as they should have anyways? Yeah, that too.
The Devil Rays, man, like,
yeah,
they were just good. They were just good. I think the Yankees, what we need is pitching. I think that's what's us right now. More specifically, games used to be about having a strong starter and an amazing closer, which we used to have in the 90s, with Roger Clemens, Mike Messina. We had a lot of good starting pitchers, and then we had the Sandman closing the games. Now I feel like the game is so relief pitcher heavy, and we don't have that. I think that what the Yankees need to do is definitely work on the pitching so that we can go deep into the playoffs, because pitching is part of our defense. Defense wins games, and if we don't have the pitching, we're not going to go to the championship. It's just too many talented teams right now.
Yeah, especially with the current situation that everything is in now, I'm just surprised that they got through as well as they did with that season, because if you see it on the internet, it's got to be true. But a lot of people are saying, the so-called experts or what have you, are saying, baseball business, it's broken. They don't know what they're doing, this and that. I'm like, well, but you also take into account, the current situation, try to figure out that way. I'm like, obviously with, the bigger amount of games that they have, it can't be compared to like your basketballs or your hockeys where they can put you in a bubble for X amount of time and then, rev up. But it's just, baseball's always been my sweet part there too, because it's something that we always grew up on. You don't grow up on football. You grow up throwing the ball with your dad or whomever in the backyard or wherever. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, especially with sports, seeing where, what they're going to be doing, with football the rest of this year, and then obviously coming back with, the rest of them with baseball. But man, it's going to be tough.
It is, man. Listen, I'm a diehard New York fan. So I'm a Knicks fan. I'm a Giants fan. I'm a Yankees fan. And, none of my teams have won in a very, very long time. the last championship was the Giants. I went to the parade. I had just came back from Japan. I was at the parade. Before that, the Yankees won in 2009. I was in boot camp for that, So I didn't. My dad sent me the newspaper article in the mail of the Yankees winning. The Knicks haven't won in my lifetime, So I've seen the Yankees win many times in my life. I've seen the Giants win twice. I just want to see the Knicks win one time, and that would be. But
no, yeah,
probably never gonna happen. So
that's the spirit. No, I can definitely relate. As you can tell, I have a Bills hat on, and I grew up outside of Buffalo. I'm in Rochester now, but if anybody. Any one group of fans can really experience heartache, it's Buffalo sports fans. Between the Bills, between the Sabres, it's like, man, I don't know. I got into the point now where it's like, I don't know if we just like to have like heartache or something, or and it's just like, and it stinks, because like I have an 8-year-old son, and he's like, "What, Daddy? Why are you watching the Bills game? Why are you watching the Sabres game if they make you mad?" I said, "Bud, I grew up and when the Sabres were in the playoffs all the time, the Bills were winning or going to the Super Bowls." And I'm like, you just have that glimmer of hope where you hope that, they're going to turn around, they're going to win. And it's like, and then at the end of the day, you go to work on Monday or whatever. It's like, oh, man, they lost again. Or
if you look at imagine Red Sox fans, I hate them, but how many years they went?
Right.
And the curse. And then they, you know, fucking Johnny Damon. They win. And now they're a franchise that keeps winning. You know, it's like, it must be good. Like, all those fans that were like, fuck my Red Sox. Oh, my Red Sox. Oh, my Red. Then finally, like, oh, shit. They won. They came back down 3-0.
Right.
You know, and then they get that hope. And then they win the championship. And it's like, oh, shit. And now they're winning. Now the Red Sox fans are, like, rocking and rolling, you know. And it's just, it happens.
No, yeah, but you get in those little spurts there, too. But it's just like, oh, come on. Let's just go. Let's go. Come on. But, you know, I tell a lot of people, I'm like, whether you're a sports fan or not, you know, it's going to be there. But, and at the end of the day, I tell everybody, I'm like, that's why I like professional wrestling, because one, there's no off season. You don't have to worry about, okay, baseball season's ending here. I got to go watch this or I got to go watch that. You know, wrestling's always going to be there. Whether you're a fan of this promotion, that promotion, it's always going to be there. Down the road, you know, once everything ends up, you know, gets quote unquote back to normal ish. You know, you mentioned a few of those guys that are on your list, your Alex Zanes, you know, you got your Leo Rushes. Who are the rest on that list? You know, we've seen Leo Rush's list. Who's on your list that Leo Rush,
Alex Zane, well, he's leaving the Indies, so I don't even know that's gonna be able to happen.
Yeah.
JT Dunn, Ray Phoenix. I've wrestled with Ray Phoenix before in tag matches and scrambles, but I want a singles with Ray Phoenix. That's my dude. That's my canal. He's fucking amazing. I think we'd fucking kill it. And Jay White, Switchblade Jay White. That's my five right now. God. And everybody on that list is amazing. So any match with any of them would be dope. You know, and if there's another person now that Alex Zane's leaving, and a person that a lot of people have been asking for, and that's a singles match with Jungle Boy because of the last two matches that I had with him on Dawn. So a singles with Jungle Boy, I think, would also be pretty dope. So,
yeah, he's I keep telling people when AEW started last year, year before, what have you, that was the first time I saw Jungle Boy, because I, you know, being on the East Coast here, you don't see, unfortunately, sometimes you gotta go, you don't see a lot of the West Coast wrestling. But now, obviously, with technology the way it is, you throw it in the Fight TV or you throw it in YouTube or whatever, and you see it. But I tell a lot of people, they started up, I've said, dude, you better watch. Everybody's saying, oh, Luchasaurus. I said, and nothing against him. Great talent. Great guy. And I probably will be a future heavyweight champion. But a lot of people are sleeping on Jungle Boy, man, that I've seen. And I'm like, I don't know why.
Luchasaurus is dope. Luchasaurus is very innovative. But Jungle Boy, he's on another level, in my opinion, too.
Yeah.
And I would definitely like to have a singles match with him.
Yeah. So, you know, to close up shop just a little bit for this episode, you know, I ask everybody this the same question every single time, and I always sometimes get the same answer, but I always like to ask it. The Wrestling DeLorean. I don't know if you're a fan of Back to the Future. You hop in the Wrestling DeLorean back to a certain time frame, whether it be a certain year, certain era, whatever. What era are you going back to?
The Attitude Era.
Yeah. Just because of you know, the talent that was there, or?
Yeah, because I would like to wrestle Stone Cold. More specifically, I'd like to wrestle The Rock. You know, just the stories that were happening, how the crowd was, all the signs in the air, you know, there was a lot of good talent in that time frame. Maybe the early stages of Ruthless Aggression as well.
Mm-hmm.
I could see myself, of course, Eddie Guerrero, Dean Malenko, matches with Rey Mysterio, you know, young Randy Orton. I would say between 98 and 2002 were like my favorite years of wrestling. That would be where I would want to go.
Yeah, it seems to be a fairly common answer. And sometimes a lot for different answers, because I want to, like you said, I want to wrestle The Rock. I want to wrestle them. Like, but others, like, I forgot who it was. They're like, yeah, I just want to see what the world was like then with that type of wrestling compared to now, where, you know, you see all the social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, whatever. I'm like, man. They're like, yeah. I'm like, I keep telling people, I'm like, you ain't getting the Attitude Era again.
I would hate trying to get my name out back in the day. without social media. That must have been miserable, having to like send tapes to promoters that might not even look at your tape, and now you lost that tape, you gotta get another tape made. Like,
yeah,
I would hate that, like, for sure. I would hate trying to get my name out in the 90s and 2000s, especially because that was like the year, the land of the giants, I feel like, back then, really. So it would be harder, I feel like, for somebody like me, unless you're as good as Rey Mysterio or, you know, but definitely just some of those matchups would be cool. If I could have any match right now with any three people from the past, I would want to wrestle The Rock. I would want to wrestle Eddie Guerrero. And I would want to wrestle... I think that's it. Like, it's for like the two people from the past that I really, really would want to wrestle. If there's a third person right now from that kind of company that I would want to wrestle, it'd be Randy Orton.
Yeah. But he's just been doing it so well. I'll tell you a brief story. I knew we were going to get into this, and that's fine. Get off in the weeds a little bit. But growing up in Buffalo, you know, me and my brothers used to go every time WWE would come, whether it be Raw, SmackDown, pay-per-view, house show, whatever, we'd go.
Yeah.
And me, there's 3 years difference, so we'd always, you know, have that common occurrence. And he'd always like the faces, I'd always like the heel. So I was a big, and still am, a big Randy Orton fan. And it goes to show you that how good he is. Even back in the day, you know, people are booing the crap out of you. I'm the schmuck in the third row cheering him, or at ringside. He looks at me, winks, goes in the ring. I'm like, oh, dude, that just solidified me as a Randy Orton fan the rest of my life. But it's just like, you see guys like him, guys like an AJ Styles, guys like a Chris Jericho, that had just been doing it for so long, reinventing themselves time and time again. And it's just, everybody asks me, why do you like professional wrestling? That's why. Because you get these guys, even Gales too.
No, I have a really cool Randy Orton story. I had did some extra work for WWE, and I remember I went into the bathroom. I had just got out of the Marine Corps, and he was in the restroom, and we're washing our hands, and he's washing his hands. I go to get out, and I look at him. I say, hey, man, like, I just want to ask you, like, you know, because I know about your past with the Marine Corps. I just got out of the Marine Corps as this rank, and trying to make the name for myself, yada, yada, yada. And he's like, what's your name? And I was like, Danny. You know, and we just talked a little bit about the Marine Corps. We talked a little bit about wrestling. And he was like, all right, man, see you around. I was with WWE that Friday for SmackDown and then the following Monday for Raw. And I was walking into where we had to go or whatever. And he was walking. He said, hey, Danny, what's up? And to me, like, I'm not trying to sound like a mark or nothing like that. But, like, the fact that he must meet hundreds of thousands of fucking, like, extra dudes. You know, dudes trying to come in and get a shot. But he, because the conversation that we had was so intense and so, like, real in the restroom, as weird as that may sound, he remembered my name and, like, the fact that he called me by my name instead of saying, hey, what's up, brother? He's like, hey, Danny, what's up? Like, to me, that was like, man, this dude is fucking dope. You know? Yeah. Like, that to me just solidified everything that I had already thought of him as a wrestler. Just made him that much better in my eyes.
Yeah, you can only believe so much of the stuff that you hear online or you see online or whatever, because with him and in general, with so many of these guys that have been in the business for so long, oh, they're assholes, they're this, they're that. But, you know, you don't see the good stuff like that, or you don't see the good stuff like Chris Jericho has done or a lot of these other guys. But I'm like, yeah, it's just, that's what makes, like I said, that's what makes you fall in love with wrestling all over again.
100%, bro. You're absolutely correct.
But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, hopefully you have many, many years to go. I don't want to put, the end before you really get really start going. But at the end of the day, you know, you hang the boots up, you know, you ride off into the sunset. What do you want Danny Limelight's legacy to be at the end of the day?
I want to be known as somebody who stood authentic to who he was, who was as real as it comes, genuine about what he wanted, somebody that was an inspiration to Puerto Ricans and New Yorkers and Latinos everywhere. My daughter, she loves wrestling. She's about to be 7 now. She loves wrestling. Hopefully she'll want to follow in my footsteps and get in the ring and create her own, you know, legacy. Just that would be pretty dope to, you know, be the first generation, then my daughter's the second generation, you know, start that generational thing. But I just wanted to be known as somebody who stood true to what he said he wanted to do, who followed his dreams, didn't let other people, doubters, tell him no, and somebody that was able to become a household name and really create a legacy that's going to be remembered, you know, more specifically for the Latino culture.
Yeah, without a doubt, without a doubt. But, you know, lastly, before we officially close shop, I know I said that before, but plug what, you know, guys, ways people can get a hold of you if they want, you know, they want to book you and what have you.
I'm not a hard person to find. If you're looking for me, you can find me on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, at Danny Limelight. Booking information, DannyLimelight@gmail.com. It's very, very easy. It's my name. ProWrestlingTees.com/Danny Limelight for all my merchandise. RJ, I want to thank you so much for bringing me on Ringside Rant. You're super dope. It was super cool, and we should definitely do it again, my brother.
Yeah, definitely. I'm definitely looking forward to it. It's always my pleasure to have guys like you on. Definitely digging what you're doing, and I'm looking forward to extremely to see what we got coming from, you know, Championship from Hollywood, United Wrestling Network, and even AEW and New Japan. I'm just looking forward to what you got coming up in general. I don't care where it is.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on, brother.
Another great episode of the Ringside Rant is in the books. A big thank you goes out to Mr. Danny Limelight. Guys, if you are not following this man's career through California to AEW, Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, United Wrestling Network, the NWA, all over. He is literally going everywhere and anywhere. He's even going to Japan. He's doing everything. Make sure you follow him across all the social medias. Watch AEW Dark coming up. I guarantee you're not going to be missing his action on that program again. By far, you're going to see him all over. So go follow him now. While you're doing that, head over to powerslam.tv and use the promo code RingsideRants now to get your first 30 days free. Thanks to our friends over at PowerSlam TV. Follow them on Twitter at PowerSlam TV. Head over to whatamaneuver.net. You can notice that you have seen the new logo for the Ringside Rant coming soon. Very, very soon is a new t-shirt design over at whatamaneuver.net. Let me know what you think, what colors you want. I'll pretty much do anything and everything that you want me to do with this logo on hoodies, on t-shirts, on long sleeve shirts, anything and everything. You want to dress your baby up in a Ringside Rant shirt? Absolutely can, without a doubt. So head over to whatamaneuver.net and check that out in the coming days. Big thank you goes out to Ian and the team over at Full Press Coverage. Check out fullpresscoverage.com. Go over and download the Full Press Coverage app. Each and every Saturday, you're not only going to hear my interview for that week, you're going to hear Boots to the Face, Chaos Theory, Irish Whip Podcast, Talkamania, Cross Body Podcast. All the wrestling you can handle is happening all day, every day, on Saturdays, each and every week. So go follow them on Twitter at Full Press Radio, at FPC_wrestling, and at FP_coverage. And make sure you download that app because you're not going to want to miss it. Check out my friends over at Fight TV. Fantastic streaming site. If you're not familiar with it, go over and get your account now at Fight TV on Twitter. Check out my great friends over at Reaper's Brew. Fantastic, fantastic coffee. Check them out. Absolutely fantastic what they're doing. I'm speechless on the great content, the great coffee that they have over there, I should say. Absolutely phenomenal. I have it each and every day. Check them out at reapersbrew.com and at reapersbrew on Twitter. So go over and follow this show across all your social medias at ringside_rant on Twitter and Instagram, at ringside_rant on Facebook. And thank you so much for tuning in this week. And subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. Tell all your friends to subscribe, rate, review. Absolutely great numbers. I love each and every one of you for listening. And as always, thank you for joining me in Ranters Nation.